RTI.
Welcome back to Play the Scott from Pop Rap Boys and Girls Part 2.
Hello.
If you've just joined us, where the heck have you been? You've already missed us going, all you hear is Radio Gaga. I'll never make a singer. And stuff like that as we've had the news.
Why did it say Radio Goo Goo after that?
I don't
know. That's just childish, isn't it?
Well, that's probably the rubbish bits that that weren't very good, which is a story we covered saying that in the UK, radio is the most trusted medium, as I've been saying for many years. We've also been enjoying the lies that girls say to boys and boys say... Well, of course we don't, really. This research was made up by girls. I'm sure it was a girly thing. Yeah. Anyway...
girls tell lies.
But the only one I constantly use, you know, is I've got no signal, but that's nothing to do with... lying to
you
people.
You use that on me, that's so you can just hang up, innit?
Yeah.
I use it like, my dinner's coming.
Yeah. How many times have you said on the phone, sorry, I'm in a meeting right now?
Yeah, I know, and you're not.
No.
You're watching Deal or No Deal. Yeah. The best one, I think one of the best ways to end a telephone conversation, I learnt this off a bloke called Peter Atkins decades ago.
Yes.
And he just says, anyway, I realise you must be busy, so I'll let you get on.
Oh, yeah, there was a couple of my American friends always used the same phrase, I'll let you go now.
Yeah, that's right. And that's like being sacked, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, I don't want you anymore. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm going to have to let you go now. Fired again. Yeah. Oh,
are we doing this show or not?
I think so. I think we are getting there. I've got a couple of other messages, actually, which I'm
so tired.
Talking of the radio news this morning, Robert says... I wouldn't trust that news, Eric, unless, of course, you heard it on radio before. Ba-boom. Very good. I like that. Tom says, yes, I think we can trust it again. It's almost recovered from the ravages of the censorship of the Central Soviet and attempted emancipation of investigative journalism perpetuated by Alistair Campbell.
What's that?
It was all big words, Lee.
Oh, Eric, it got
more than two syllables in it. I was completely shot to bits.
Can you say that Welsh town name?
No.
Oh, I think it's... Have you got it there? It's Clanfair, Pwell, Gwyn, Gil, Goger, Wickrin, Drobwyl, Lan, Tisilio,
Gogogoch. You can do the last bit.
Go on, then.
Gogogoch.
Hang on, just a minute.
What? What? What have I got to wait for, Lee?
I've just done it.
Oh, okay.
Did you not hear it?
No.
I just had a bloke say it for you.
Oh, right. What, gogogoch?
I'm not done. Yeah, no, the full lot. He said the full lot.
Did he?
You
want
to hear it again?
Yeah, put the microphone up his nose.
I did.
Is that Danny? No, not there yet.
Did you hear it?
No. You're lying to me again.
I'm not. I don't lie. I'm a proper person.
You little liar. That's another lie to go on the list. How do
here's one.
How do you say Landfair, Will, Glyn, Glyth, Go, Rin, Drob, Will, Yan, Di,
Silio,
Gogogoch.
Gogogoch.
Yeah. But it's not, is it T or Thai? Because I'm being too Slovak now, because the Y is an I in Slovak, you see.
Could Petra say it?
No.
Oh.
We did try that.
Clanfair, Phil, Gwyn, Gil, Goger, Yicky, Wern, Drob,
Will, Lan, Tai, Silio, Gogogog. I'll tell you what. Challenge to the audience. If anybody can say it properly, can you email it to us so we can hear it? We'll include it in the programme.
Don't just write it out on an email. Say
it, for goodness sake. I promise we won't nick it. But if you can actually say it, because we can't, we can't say much anything else. Do drop us an email and include it. I've got to say hello to Peter, who's apparently a bit of a teddy boy, and also Patricia, who think the Lady Gaga thing is absolutely fabulous. There's a note from Petra in here, funnily enough, who says she wants to win. Well, she can't. That's not allowed. And then Peter's defending her, saying, yes, Petra should win. That'd be good. And I think there's some discussion with them, somebody sharing somebody's suitcase, but we perhaps better not go there. No.
I'm not in the suitcase.
Sounds like a good name for a TV show. back to the plot, as they say. We will do a little bit of news here. Here we go. There's a great thing. We've got a couple of Gaga stories this week as well. And one of them I absolutely love, and I saw it on the TV here in Slovakia, where this little 12-year-old boy has become a phenomenon on YouTube because he's done a cover version of Lady Gaga's Paparazzi, which is a fabulous song. I'd love to see that live. She's pretty good. Little boy's name is Grayson Chance, and he's had more than I'm green now. More than 10 million hits on YouTube.
Yeah, well, it's one hit, but 10 million people have looked at it. I just started explaining.
Yeah, right. Anyway, apparently Gaga then phoned him up to wish him good luck. And she actually said to the little boy, and I absolutely agree with this, keep following your dreams and work really hard and stay away from girls. Good advice. And be focused.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Fabulous.
If you had 10 million hits on YouTube, if you sold 10 million records, how famous and rich would you be?
Quite. I mean,
it's,
if you look at what they had to do a few years ago was sort of reclassify everything when the record sales were changing. Now, I mean, to get into the UK charts today, you can do it with like 15, 20,000, depending on the week.
Where'd you get on that? If you had 15,000,
you'd just be inside the top 40. Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas years ago, you would have had to sell, you know, tens and tens and tens of thousands to get in the charts. And this is why record companies used to make so much money. And to get to the top of the charts, especially the album charts, you know, you'd be into millions of pieces of vinyl being sold. Not terribly good for the environment, but there you are. We didn't know it at the time.
It is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is absolutely incredible, the difference. And I suppose it's hard. The one thing that I didn't like, and one of the I'm quite good at the history of things of radio, especially, and one of the things that, you know, I wouldn't say conned with, but certainly not exactly told the truth with, was an old program on Radio Luxembourg, which was the Decca Record Hour. Now what they used to do was they never played the whole record on this program. So you'd have this guy introduce the program, did it, you know, and off it would go, and there'd be a jingle, and they would play like half of a track, the A side of a 7-inch vinyl, to tease you into buying the whole thing. Now, Mr. Naive Teenager as I was, well, I probably still am, you sort of hear this and go, oh, that's a great, oh, I like that, and you'd run out and buy it, not realising the whole program was a damn great advert.
Well, it's true. What was the first record you ever bought?
I don't know.
I know what mine was.
I know the first record I was bought, which was one that my parents bought for me. When I was, my sister and I shared a Christmas present. It was a Dansett record player.
Yeah.
A mono record player where the lid used to lift up, sort of square shaped thing. It was red and white.
I had one that colour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had a blue one, and white one.
Yeah, that's right. And the first record we got was Andy Williams singing Almost There.
Oh, that's fine, because I tell you what, that actually is possibly more embarrassing than mine. You know what my first one was?
No, go on.
Oh, it's terrible. I hear the sound.
Oh, not Jim Reeves.
Yeah, I did. Oh, I was 12 and I went out and bought a Jim Reeves record.
What a numpty. Oh, dear, no wonder you're such an old person. It's in your blood. But I think the first thing that really, really hit me was Magical Mystery Tour by the Beatles.
Really?
The EP.
Yeah, the psychedelic ABBA of the rock. Yes, exactly. You know what my first real record was that I bought? Now, you're not going to believe this, but God's honest truth. Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Blimey.
Beat that one.
Well, I must admit, when I was a kid, I was a bit lucky, you see, because Dad, Mum and Dad had a shop at that time. And so I did manage to persuade them to start selling records.
Did you indeed? Why, yes. At the village post office?
Yes. Well, it was the post office, but Dad used to refer to it as Selfridge's Shillington, which is where I lived. And it was, you could literally buy anything in the place. You know, he had a special license for selling certain classes of aspirins and druggy things, and had a license for this, that, and meat. Oh,
what was it called? Shillington?
Shillington. Yeah, it was the post office in Shillington. And
that's
was
like the pound shop, isn't it? It's like if the pound shop was called Pounding Shop, it's the Shillington shop.
Yeah,
as well,
absolutely. Yeah. And we had all sorts of wonderful stuff in there. And so I think by the time I actually started my DJing work, in the back room, it literally was in the lounge bar of the village pub where we used to practice. By that time, I'd got somewhere in the region of about 5,000 7-inch singles at that time. And in fact, it took two of us to lift the records in these big wooden boxes. And we used to practice.
You've always been a weakly child, haven't you?
I have. And we used to just practice in a pub. And that's literally how I got started. There was two of us, David and myself, and we used to practice. And he was supposed to be the engineer, which he was. He was a bit of a techie. And I was the wobbly gob, as my sister used to call it.
The wobbly gob?
Yes. I don't know.
You swapped that for a wobbly belly, haven't
you? Yes. And that's how it all started at the Crown Public House in Shillington, in the back room, which is where I started off as a DJ doing my practicey stuff. And eventually people used to sort of come in on a Wednesday night just to see us. And that's how we got started.
Yeah. You know, our village post office here, this is true, this is not a word for lie.
Yeah.
Our village post office master was a transvestite, and it was incredible, because you'd go in his shop, and he'd have a new dress on every day, and he'd got earrings in, but he'd got a moustache.
Right.
He was brilliant. We loved him. Mr. Pagey was wonderful.
I have no comment about that whatsoever. Never mind. Anyway, so yeah, and then just to wrap the story up quickly, I then got into, I can't remember what the name of it is, Lee, you'd know. There used to be a great amount of clubs in the UK which were working men's clubs. I think it was CIU or something like that. And they all had this special little sign outside which sort of broke them away from a normal pub. They were a club.
That's right. What was the beer they used to serve? There was a special beer for them.
There was.
Only you could get there. I can't remember what it was called.
No, I can't either. But it was
very nice.
It was cheaper than your average pub beer. But work in these places, you had to become part of party, lad. Yeah. And you had to have a ticket to get in, and you had to show your
it's all I know in Shillington then.
No. And you had to have another card, which was like a union card.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you didn't have this card, you couldn't work in the clubs. And so you had to become a member, then you get a card, and then you were sort of like, okay then. And then you could work in the working men's clubs. And then from there you went up to nightclubs. And in cases of people like Wiltshire, you went from nightclubs to radio, which never seemed to get a licence.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't go on and on and on.
And the trouble is, it's like records today.
I forgot that's where we started.
Thank you. The point is that
that was like a trip. How did you bring it back to that?
I don't know. Psychedelia, mate. the fact is that now, instead of going through all that pain, if you're a good disc jockey, and you are really, really good, you can get that exposure on the internet, which you couldn't do years ago, in the same way as musicians, like this young lad, can get 10 million people watching him.
But the original point to that was, does it make him a star? He's had 10 million. If you told 10 million records, you would be a star.
Why?
If you had 10
No.
Yeah,
if you got good marketing, let me just think. I got a good, great.
If you sold 10 million records, you would be a star. You wouldn't need to market. 10 million people have bought your record.
Right, number one hit in the UK was this character, boys and girls, who played a role of an ageing grandfather, known as Grandad. And he wore an old black cap, old-fashioned waistcoat, and he looked the part of, like, the loving grandfather. And this was a situation comedy on the television. And he produced a track called Grandad. It was by a gentleman called Clive Dunn.
And
I'm sure
it was actually the most appalling record ever written.
And
everybody
sold...
went out and bought it. Yeah, everybody went out and bought it for the granddads. Now, that is marketing superb.
So does that make him famous?
Well, he was famous, wasn't he?
As a pop musician...
you're talking about it now, 20 years down the line. Everybody knows who you're talking about.
As a pop musician, does that qualify as being famous? I don't think so.
Of course it does.
No.
Famous being known. And Clive Dunn is known forever for that. Rolf Harris is known for Two Little Boys. I wish I hadn't said that down.
I did like his version of Stairway to Heaven. That was fabulous.
That was brilliant. Yeah. That was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I love it. So anyway, well, let's wish this young gentleman, how we started it off, grace and chance, all the best for the future. I actually watched the YouTube video. He is very, very good. He's
very, very good, but is he a star? Does he deserve 10 million people watching it?
If he can keep going, and if he becomes a genuine entertainer...
Now you've got it. That's the problem with things like YouTube. You can become a star overnight, but you've got no experience. You don't know how to deal with stardom or perpetuate it.
You don't. The truth is, there's a lot of stars, Lee, that don't go through. And I used to hate this. There was a program I used to watch on the television years and years ago. It was one of the very, very early talent shows. Mm. And I remember there was a debate about it on the news, and this absolutely pompous, arrogant idiot of a woman said, "I don't think this is very good. They haven't gone to radar, so how will they know how to act?" And I thought, you arrogant woman.
You arrogant woman.
Who the hell are you? Because what the internet gives people is an opportunity to get somewhere. If the public really like it, people will talk about it and they will get 10 million hits. If it goes off from there, that's their launch platform. If it works, great. If they're not so good, it goes down the toilet again. But hey, they still had their 15 minutes of fame.
Of course they have. Of course they have. I'm not denying it. I'm just saying, is it as valid as the old method of becoming a star? If you had 10 million records out, you were a star. This, you know, lots of people have one-hit wonders. Like Lee P. Lee and people like that. One-hit wonders did really well out of it, but they are remembered 30 years down the line. Of course they are.
No, they're not.
I'll just ask Dan the Builder.
If you walk down the high street now...
Yeah.
Okay.
Dan says yes.
All right. Well, he's old. If you walk down the high street now...
You're old. He's not replying. He's down there by my phone.
If you walk down the high street now and say to people, globally, have you heard of Clive Dunn? The chances are, outside the UK, everybody go, who? Or they'll get the name mixed up.
What's this kid's name?
Grayson Chance.
Right, Grayson Chance. That's a good name, actually.
Isn't it? It's very showbiz.
Wow. I'm going to change my name to Lee Chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no chance.
Well, no chance is better for you. But Grayson Chance, I bet if you walk down the high street now and ask people who it is, a lot will go, huh? But there'll be a chance that a lot more would say, oh, isn't he the kid that did the Lady Gaga song? They might not remember the whole thing, but they will remember that. And a lot of the so-called rare vinyl singers of the past, nobody's ever heard of them anymore.
Well, yeah, but they remember them, don't they?
No.
Yeah,
or they avoid
do.
Them.
It would depend on the type of person you have. If I ask 40 to 50-year-olds, they'd remember them.
Yeah, but they'll be dead in 20 years.
Who did the Israelites?
Desmond Dekker.
Desmond Dekker. Well, he had a couple of hits, didn't he? People still remember him. It's just the way of the world, Eric.
Shall we try another one just before we go?
I
will admit this was when I was married to my first wife. The process of the...
When I was married to your first wife, I had this trouble.
The process in all the nightclubs that we used, all the working men's clubs we worked in, was we would always start the show, because ours was a bit more than a disco, it was a big show. And we would always do, and I had some special jingles made, they were on cassettes. And it used to this really lovely deep voice, going, "The Davering Road Show, at number one."
And what are we doing?
And do you know what I had to play one time, Lee?
What?
One of the records that's memorable by forgetting about it.
Yes.
Brian and Michael. Pictures of matchstock men and matchstock cats and dogs.
I thought.
Do you know the song?
Did that. Of course I do. It was terrible. You know the choir that they did it with, St. Winifred's Choir?
Was it them? I don't know.
Yeah. My daughter was in that choir.
Oh, dear.
Well, no, that was my daughter's 15 minutes of fame, wasn't it?
Well, OK, all right. But it's just...
Disparage my stories about my daughter.
It's just... I tell you what, I will take nominations on this one as well. What's the worst top 10 track you've ever heard in your life, boys and girls? Worst top 10 track. And whilst you think about that, I will just briefly remind you that today we started the competition on RTI.fm, where we're going gaga with Lady Gaga.
And this certainly are.
And this is exclusive to RTI listeners from Nokia. Make sure that you go to the website. This is all you've got to do, boys and girls. Go to the website, www.rti.fm. You go into a draw. As soon as you register, you're in the draw. You don't need to know her music, although it'd be a better thing if you did. You don't need to know about Nokia or anything about mobiles. All you got to do is just enter and you go into the draw. What could you win? A 3-day trip to see Lady Gaga in New York City for two people. Yeah. If you don't win, there's even a free celebrity gossip thingy for you with Nokia as well, which is fab. I've had a go at that. That's really funny. And not very celebrity me. Sorry. But go to the site, rti.fm. Just type, you don't have to type anything else in, just rti.fm in your toolbar. And you go there, fill in the thing. The radio will carry on playing. Thank you, Brett, for sorting out the technology. And you just put your name in there, put your email address, and you go into the draw. Somebody has got to win this exclusive competition to RTI listeners from Nokia. A chance for 3 days in the Big Apple, New York City, to see Lady Gaga perform live. You don't need to have a degree in science or music or anything else to enter the competition. Everybody's equal on this one. Put your name and your email address in and da-da-da. As it says on the little form there, you just click the buttons and you're in the draw. It's all you got to do. www.rti.fm. Tell your friends about it as well, because you never know. If they win, they might take you. If it was Lee, he wouldn't take me. But that's just the way life is, really.
I'll take you.
Thank you, sir. You're too good. Moving along,
Go on, then.
I was going to say, you got a Gaga.
Lady Gaga in a hat.
I saw a picture of this somewhere, Lee.
Yeah. Which?
Didn't she have a telephone on her head?
She had a telephone on her head, and she looked really cute. I felt like I might just give her a quick call. But no, she's got a big and important thing. But it's quite interesting. Philip Treacy is one of the world's most famous hat designers.
That's right.
Has had a call from Lady Gaga asking if she could take up what is classed as an internship with his company and learn how to make hats. How lovely.
Well, she is
a lobster on her.
Well, I know, but she's a creative. That's the whole point, isn't it?
I think it's quite admirable, actually, that somebody like her has got the stamina and the excitement and the determination and drive to actually get involved in all these things.
Yeah, the trouble
is... aren't many of us left.
Well, the trouble is I often get the phrase, you creatives are all like that. As if I would, you know, get stroppy and angry and get annoyed about stuff. I don't
know. I know who you're talking about who says that to
probably.
I've heard that said to me.
Probably. You creatives are all the... But I'm not. I'm really calm and chilled out.
Well, I am. It's you who's hysterical, not me. Honestly. In our relationship, I am the one who pours oil on troubled water. The one who has hysteria.
What relationship? What relationship?
Yeah, we have a relationship.
No, I hope not.
Oh, all right then.
Otherwise, everything in my head
is... I know who it is.
Everything in my head's completely Gaga. Sorry, I just couldn't resist it. And don't forget, boys and girls, we would love to hear your entries as well. Just, there's no prize for this. It's not like the Gaga competition. But if anybody can say, Clan Farewell Jin Glin Gaga Yirin Drob Will Landy Silio Gogagog properly, send it over to us by email. I'd love to hear it. I would.
Quick try.
What? No.
Can't hear it.
I'm not buying into that anymore.
What? You're not buying into what? You're just a bizarre man.
It's not. There was no noise. Ask the boys and girls. There was no noise whatsoever. It was deadly silent. But I wouldn't mind knowing about that. And
I think you should, yeah. Let us know.
The other thing
Derek
we want...
and I will rehearse it and say it properly.
Yeah. Week. And we want to also know, what is the worst record that's been in the chart? I mean, I know there's some awful tracks out there from... was it William Shatner who was in Star Trek? Recorded
yeah, but
some
was
stuff.
Funny.
Yeah, it, that was funny. But the worst in the tracks that got in the top 10. Let's make it the top 10, all right?
So Tie a Yellow Ribbon.
Tie a Yellow Ribbon,
ribbon
Bruce.
Round the old oak tree.
No, we did a different version. That Bruce Windham. Who was he? He was a newsreader.
I know that name. Who
yeah,
was
he was a newsreader. Tie a Yellow Ribbon round Bruce Windham's knee.
Why?
I don't know. I can't remember. There must have been something silly about it at the time when
I
was young.
Did I ruin your joke then?
Slightly.
I am really pleased. I am so pleased after the beginning. You know, I'm not recovered from the beginning of this show and you talked over my punchline.
No, sorry. Or if it's, right. That's just an idea, but if there's something in the... it's like one track I remember from the 60s. I don't know if it was in the top 10 or not.
Chirpy, chirpy, cheek.
No, it gets worse. Lily the Pink.
I thought Lily the Pig was quite good, actually.
By the Scaffold, poetic. Which was Paul McCartney's brother in
should
that.
Should be hung from one, shouldn't
they? I mean, a friend of mine said one day she was listening, she was laying in hospital in Luton in Bedfordshire, turned the radio on, and on came Eric. She thought, oh, that'll be funny. And I played Lily the Pink by the Scaffold. She nearly screamed. Because apparently it's the worst track she could ever think of in her entire life. So if you've got one like that, drop it over to us via your studio address on your station and we'll have a little look at them next week. So I think that's hysterical. We've probably got time for one more, Lee. That's about it. I'm not going to do...
We've finished.
Yeah, we have. This has got to be bizarre. The bizarre story of the week is from Iowa. The Court of Appeal has ordered relatives of a deceased Burlington man to exhume his body so his head can be cut off and cryogenically frozen.
That is just unbelievable, isn't it?
What's the point?
I don't believe that people could date, that a company could pursue this. They are asking a family to dig their 81-year-old granddad up, chop his head off, and give it to them.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's not even going to do any good now. It's a completely, utterly pointless.
By now, wasn't it, that head?
Absolutely. Anyway, that's it, boys and girls, for another week. That was Postcard from Poprad with me, Eric Wiltshire, in the Tatry Mountains. And over
and
there...
me, whoever I am.
That's Lee Banks, that's languishing in the new world of great British politics. In the United Kingdom. Don't forget, boys and girls.
Identity card.
Good. As we go, www.rti.fm for the Gaga competition exclusive to RTI from our friends at Nokia. See you next week. Bye bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.